Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
At this time, we are going to celebrate a newcomer into our membership. So I am going to ask one of our elders, Dave Cook, if you would come forward and introduce our new member.
Thank you, Tyler. It's a joy today with you to introduce and to welcome into membership Beverly Howard, if she could come forward. It's always exciting when someone says, I like what you're doing there at Richview. I want to be part of it. I want to commit myself to the body of Christ here and the body of Christ commit to you. And can I ask Beverly in a few sentences, why is it that you wanted to be part of Richview?
You have to excuse me, I'm orbiting here. I'm so excited. I guess Richview, without putting you on a pedestal, because we can grow always more in the Lord and in our relationships, I found acceptance. And there are so many people that I would like to thank for my first, but there isn't time. But I would like to say that Joe Tulo came up to me that very first Sunday, and he spent 20 minutes with me. I was totally blown away. We actually had conversation, and that was it. And then the other most important thing is, even though we gather here together in small groups at morning tea or before service or after, I never felt like there was an impenetrable wall around the group. I always felt that if I really wanted to, I could just say, excuse me, may I join the group? Sherry, Nancy, thank you for welcoming me into the library right at the beginning. Tyler and Ed, wherever you are. My heart just wells with gratitude for them and for everybody. God's truly brought me home. This is the first time I've become a member of any congregation. I felt totally safe. Thank you.
Yes, it's our joy. Rick and I had the privilege of interviewing Beverly, and it's a joy this morning now in front of you all to formally welcome.
Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus who went to the cross for Beverly. We thank you for her heart that is not only willing to be part of our family, but willing to serve in our congregation, willing to love this congregation. We just pray that you would use her to the utmost of her ability, and that you would give her strength and wellness and health, and as she does that, help her to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as she's living next door in the residence, that she would be a faithful ambassador for Richview. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father God, as we sung that song, I'm reminded of the words of John the Baptist, who said that, may you increase, may I decrease. Father, that can be hard, because in our world we can become so full of ourselves. But may you increase. May you be magnified in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. And we do that as we reflect on your word and as we study it and engage with it and allow ourselves to be refined by it. So again, Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would work in our midst even this day to shape us and mold us to be more like Jesus. Be our teacher today by your Spirit, and may the words and meditations of my own heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. We will be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning, and great to be here with you. Glad you made it the way through that crazy weather of yesterday and overnight this morning. I'm glad to be here. When we left Wasaga this morning, it was a little sketchy in the snow, but God was gracious, and so we're glad to be here with you. And today, we are launching into a new series of messages that we've entitled Vital Signs. I expect that many of us here have had trips to the emergency room, either ourselves or with someone. And over the years, I've had a few trips myself. And as you arrive at the emergency room, the reception nurse will check your vital signs, your blood pressure, your heart rate, likely your oxygen level, your pain level, and so on. And of course, the nurse is checking your vital signs to know how serious your medical emergency is and how fast they might need to admit you for medical treatment. In the spiritual life, or in the life of faith, there are also vital signs. Signs of true or authentic faith. Why is that important? Well, we live in a world where there are all kinds of spiritualities, truth claims that vie for our allegiance or belief. And many in our culture would say, well, they're all equal. No one's belief is better than another. Just believe something. And I think it's maybe a bit like saying, doesn't matter what food you eat as long as you eat something. If I really believe that, simply ate whatever I like, I would soon be being rushed to the ER for them to be checking my vital signs, and they wouldn't be good. As a person with a sweet tooth, I would love to be able to simply indulge whatever I want, whenever I want. But both you and I know that will not lead to health. It'll destroy health. Similarly, if we want to be spiritually healthy, if we want our vital signs of spiritual health to be strong, then it matters what we believe and it matters how we live out those beliefs. And that's why over the next number of weeks, we are going to be delving into the letter of 1 John. We are going to be looking at this wonderful, sometimes incredibly inspirational, sometimes incredibly challenging book, section by section, verse by verse, that we might be informed and shaped by the wisdom, the wonderful wisdom of this book. It's not a long book, only 5 chapters. But let me tell you, it is rich in its wisdom and its guidance. And I believe that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever you are, I believe that this letter will speak into your life, will help you to live a more vital and authentic Christian life.
Now, I want to begin by giving a bit of background, basic orientation to this book. First, it is called the letter of 1 John. Well, why? Because there are three short letters from John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that are recorded in the scriptures. 2nd and 3rd John are even shorter, consisting of only one chapter each. More importantly, though, it's called the letter of 1st John, even though John is not named in this letter like the Apostle Paul did often in his letters, but it has been understood from as early as the 2nd century that these writings were indeed from the Apostle John, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, the author of the Gospel of John, and also the book of Revelation, which actually makes John the third largest contributor to the New Testament after Luke, who wrote the book of Gospel of Luke and Acts, and of course the Apostle Paul with all his various letters. John, of course, was a disciple of Jesus, one of the inner circle along with Peter and James. And in the Gospel of John, he simply refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. That was the most important thing to John. And as we will see as we continue in this letter, John writes passionately and insightfully about the love of Jesus and wants others to know and to walk in this love. We've got so much to look forward to. What is in particular significant about John's writings, though, is that he wrote late in the first century after Christianity had been more securely established, somewhere actually between 85 and 95 AD. And that's important to our theme, because John is actually responding and addressing some false beliefs, some strange and odd beliefs that had formed about Jesus and what it had meant to live the Christian life. Already in the first century of the church, some aberrant, some false, some wrong-headed beliefs about Jesus and what the Christian life was all about had begun to develop. And so John is the longest living apostle, writes down this letter to speak into that developing reality and false teaching. While John is still alive, he wants believers to understand and to be affirmed in what true belief is and how they are to live that out. And he wants to challenge and confront wrong-headed, false spiritualities, false beliefs, deceptions, and ways of living that are not in line with genuine faith in Christ. And so as we delve into this very important letter over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be challenged over and over again, basically around two things: what we believe and how we live. What we believe and how we live. And they can't be separated. It matters what we believe and think about regarding the nature of the gospel and Jesus and Christianity. And it matters how we put that faith to practice in our day-to-day lives and relationships. Some weeks we will focus more on one than the other. But I just want to say from the outset that these two themes flow through this entire letter, and I want you to look for that as we continue. So with that, let's look at how John launches into this letter. And this morning I'm just looking at the first four verses, which are recognized as the introduction to this letter and set the tone for the letter. Let me read through these first four verses. It'll be on the screen, or you can follow in your app or in the Bibles. There's Bibles at the back if you want to follow along in one of those. Hear God's word. John begins, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it, testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Excuse me. I've entitled my message today, For Real. For Real. Because that, for me, summarizes what this introductory statement is communicating. Hey, readers and listeners, this is for real. And I want you to know this is for real because I'm an eyewitness of it, and I want to clearly proclaim that to you. And there are four things, four real things that I want to draw out of these verses. First, and most importantly, Jesus is for real. And you can be sure of this, writes John, because I was there. I got up close and personal along with the other apostles, and so he uses the we here. We saw. We were there. Now, one of the ways, and this is important, I think, to capture, one of the ways that this writer John, in a creative literary fashion, lets us know right from his first words that he is talking about Jesus, is he's alluding to the opening words of the Gospel of John that he had wrote just a few years earlier. May we recall that the opening words of the Gospel of John are, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, it's really important when we come to the Scriptures that we don't forget that the Bible is not only truth. It is often brilliant, creative writing of those truths, often even artistic in its presentation. And sometimes, like studying poetry, we've got to slow down a little bit and contemplate what the author is communicating or getting at. While it is, of course, of fundamental importance to understand, I think it's good at times to reflect on the beauty and the artistry of the Scriptures that have been inspired by God. That is true both for the opening lines of the Gospel of John, but it's also true for this much briefer introduction of this letter of John. You see, John, in this opening verse, connects with the opening verses of the Gospel of John, both by this phrase, from the beginning, and this wonderful description or title given to Jesus in the opening verse, the Word of Life. Word of Life. Word is the translation of the Greek word logos. Maybe you're familiar of that. It's common used in our English language or advertising, something that refers to the word. But logos referred to more than written words or spoken words, but actually to the author and source of all things, the logos. Very important when John was writing this letter. And like John does in the gospel, by proclaiming that the Word, the Logos, became flesh, Here, John again gets incredibly personal and real and says, we have heard it, we have seen it with our eyes, and more than that, we have touched. We have touched it. What's John saying here? He's saying that Jesus, the historical person that John had walked with and heard him teach and experienced and ate with, this flesh and blood person, was also at the same time the Logos of life. The one who created all things, brought all things into existence. The one who creates life. The Word of life. The author of life. John is saying, this Jesus is for real. Fully man, fully God. God incarnate, God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the second verse then expands on this important theme of life. As he weaves these wonderful themes together. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Again, the first thing is Jesus is for real. But secondly, he moves in to say, but the spiritual life is for real. In other words, there is more to life than our human experience of eating and drinking and going to sleep and going to work and making a living and trying to get by and pay the bills, and then when it's all over, you die. That's life. John's saying, hey, we're created for more, so much more. There is more to life than existing in this temporal body. And the true way, the real way, the for real way is to experience Jesus' eternal life. In fact, John is expressing in some very succinct ways here that Jesus, the eternal life, came from the Father, appeared just so that we could have this eternal life. Jesus came from the Father to bring us life. Do you know those powerful words from the Gospel of John, recorded from the mouth of Jesus? I have come. I have come. So that they may have life. Have it to the full. It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I've come that you might have life, life. Have it to the full. You see, Jesus taught that there are two kinds of life: physical life, this temporal life, and spiritual life. They are both important, and God is ultimately the author of both. But the problem that Jesus came to address is that in our ignorance and sinfulness and brokenness, we can attempt to blindly live life apart from ever being spiritually alive. Jesus came that we might have life, that we might be made spiritually alive. And John is proclaiming here is that Jesus embodies, possesses this eternal life, and he brings it to those who trust in him. He is the Word of life. He speaks life into us so that we can become alive. Then this life can be lived with a whole new dimension, life in relationship with God. And of course, not only that, but once we're connected with this life, this eternal life, then this physical life, when it comes to an end, is not the true end. this physical life will end. But if we have Jesus' life in us, and we are in him, then of course we have an eternal hope. Life. And that brings us to the third thing in these opening verses, which are such a big part of being spiritually alive, and that is fellowship. Fellowship is for real. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what is this thing called fellowship? Well, if you've been around the church very much, you will have heard this word fellowship used quite a bit. It's one of the more common words that we banty about. Sometimes it's used like this: after church, we're going to have some coffee on and a time for fellowship. Or let's together and have some fellowship. Or maybe you've heard some groups called fellowship groups: the Women's Fellowship, the Men's Fellowship, Ridgeview. We have the Joy Fellowship, our wonderful ministry to seniors. And so fellowship is sometimes used in the church simply to refer to some kind of gathering, a time to connect, a time to build relationships. But in the scriptures, there is a richness to this idea of fellowship that's really important not to miss. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and literally means having or holding or sharing something in common. It's sometimes then even translated as communion or kind of a partnership. Koinonia then refers to what believers, what followers of Jesus have in common, what we share in together, and actually what binds us together, what actually forms us into a community, what we hold in common, fellowship. And John here indicates that there are two very important things to understand about koinonia or fellowship. First, that it comes as a result of the proclamation and responding to the message of Jesus. He writes, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard," the for Jesus, the reality of him and who he is, "so that you might have fellowship with us." This is how true fellowship comes about. It's really not the nice feeling we might have as we talk about whatever is going on in our lives, as nice as that might be. Koinonia, from the scriptural perspective, is when we have responded to the message of Jesus that we actually begin to share in this common life of being God's people. We share in the common life of living out the life that Jesus has given us and brought us into. And secondly, John points out that there are two dimensions of this fellowship. Fellowship with other believers, what John describes here as with us, that you might have fellowship with us, and fellowship with the Father and the Son. Let me suggest that this is really what the church is at its barest essence. A community of people in spiritual relationship with one another and the living God. Without that, you might have a great organization. You might even do a lot of good things and have a lot of good programs. But you don't have what Jesus came to bring us. Koinonia, fellowship with the Father and the Son, the Spirit, and with one another. When we come to believe in Jesus, we share in and are connected to this common life in Jesus. And it's a beautiful and wondrous thing that I wouldn't want anyone to miss out on. And I know from talking with so many of you that you are experiencing and enjoying that. Here we heard from Beverly this morning. Wasn't that beautiful? She shared about the privilege of sharing in that common life of Jesus here at Richview. And I'm experiencing that too. I am sometimes most aware of it, most conscious of it. It kind of knocks me over the head sometimes. When I'm meeting a person, maybe for the first time, and we begin to share about our spiritual journeys and our walk with Jesus. And even though we might come from very different backgrounds and experiences and so on, you begin to know that you share in this common life of Jesus. Have you experienced that? Do you know what that is? That's koinonia. And Jesus wants all of us to know that and experience that. And let me just say that sometimes one of the most wonderful ways to experience that is to spend time in prayer with your other brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we miss out on some of what this koinonia is meant to be experienced because we don't spend time in prayer with one another. And I would invite you to do that more. But know this, fellowship is for real. For real. Now John is going to have more to say about true fellowship and how it can go off the rails, but we'll get into some of that next week. But lastly, John closes off this introduction with another great hope that he has as he writes. We'll look at this briefly. We write this, he says, to make our joy complete. There is some translation discussion whether the "our" in this verse should be "your." But I don't think, even if it is "our," which is most likely, it's an exclusive "our" as opposed to not yours but only ours. But ours, this joy would be shared. I write this so that our joy will be complete. You see, John knows there is great joy for people discovering, believing, and living out the life of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said this, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." There's joy. There's joy. There is a for real joy. And God wants each of us to experience that. And once we experience that joy, because we have come to know the joy of our own salvation, then we want others to know that joy too. And so our joy increases. John says, "I write this so that our joy might be complete, might be expanded, might overflow." Now let me just kind of put this section all together for you. When we come to know and believe in the true historical life of Jesus, who was the Son of God come in the flesh, also the Word of God, fully man, when we come to believe in him, then we can know his life in us. We become alive to God, alive with a hope for eternity. And as we begin to live out that life, enter into that life, we also get to share in this beauty and wondrous thing called fellowship, koinonia, with one another, and with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And as we live out that life and others come to know him and experience him, then there's just this increase of joy. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? One of the ways as a church that monthly we celebrate these things, that we are reminded who Jesus is, came in the flesh, the Son of God, who actually gave his flesh for us. One of the ways that we do that is by celebrating the Lord's Supper. We celebrate who Jesus is. We celebrate the life that he's given us. And we come together as a community because we are participating in this life. And that's why we say that this is a meal for believers, for those who have come to know this, because that's where the fellowship is. That's where we get to share in it together, because we're celebrating the same thing and we're focusing on Jesus, who gave his life for us that we could live. And of course, it's a celebration of joy because our sins are forgiven. We've been cleansed and made whole, redeemed, restored, reconciled with the living God, and there's a joy that comes.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.